I want to talk about Lucifer a minute. Let's go to Genesis. Where are we going to go? Genesis 1, verse 26. And God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowls of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." So before the fall, man was to have dominion over everything except himself, which is an incredibly important concept. Because every man that is born into the earth after the fall ends up believing, even if they're terrible at it, that he should have dominion over himself. Can anybody say amen to that? Do you understand having dominion over yourself? Yeah. But do you understand what that means?
We want to be our own God?
The man.
Well, let's think about it. What does it mean to have dominion over yourself?
Control.
Control everything.
That you're able to control your eating habits, your politeness, or your rudeness, or your eating habits, right? Mm-hmm. In many ways, even your appearance. And so man is consumed with wanting dominion over himself. Now, if anybody has tried that, you know that it's futile. One of my issues has always been when I see really heavy people, like, and I've never really had a problem with weight, so it's not fair for me to have those judgments, but I see somebody that weighs like 400 pounds, and I say to myself, didn't they like realize when they were like 20 pounds overweight? Shouldn't something have snapped when they had 20 pounds over their weight? Or when, you know, and that's my own, that has nothing to do with the reality, that's my own crap, my own judgment. And the answer is, yeah, they should know it, but it's not their business. But what gives it their business is when they start thinking about it, and then they try to start dealing with it. And so then they empower the food by trying to, how can I say that? You empower what you try to resist. Mm. And so whenever you're trying to resist getting fat, you've empowered getting fat.
It's like diet.
Right. You've empowered it. And so the whole idea is, again, the idea that I'm going to control something. I'm going to control what I perceive as evil. It always has the opposite effect. Because you empower what you resist. And so the scripture, the meaning, the fullness of the scripture about things there isn't a person in this room except Lalo that hasn't tried to change himself. or herself. And how did that work out for you? It doesn't work too well, does it? You know, the lion wants whatever the lion wanted, and the tin man wants whatever the tin man wanted, and the whoever the other guy, straw man, wants whatever the straw man wanted. And the mystery of a believer, the mystery of Christianity is, if you can hear this, is you don't say no to temptation, you affirm Jesus. The minute you say no, you resist, then you empower. Now here, in Genesis, the way we were created initially, we were created to have dominion over everything except ourselves. And now we have dominion over nothing. I mean, it's like you're a victim of everything. If you have dominion, you can't be a victim. Now,
what do you mean, victim?
Well, thinking that somebody's out to get you or something, is you can't, whatever, you know, that whole victim mentality. What's going on? Oh, is somebody really, huh?
Running.
No. But that's not what we're going to talk about. We talked about that God made man in his own image and likeness. And we talked about what image meant, right? Did we talk about
yes,
it?
No.
Does anybody remember what we talked about?
Like
I don't.
A glove.
Right. Okay, it's a word, it's the Hebrew word tselem. T-S-E-L-E-M. That's the way what do you call it? That's what its English translation sounds like. It's tselem. And it means not that we look like God, but the word image is, or tselem is the word that a glove is the image of the hand. And so we are created to contain him. But the word likeness means exactly the same as God. And so image and likeness, the use of those two words, shows us something interesting. It shows us that God created man innocent. God didn't want innocence. He wants the innocence transformed into holiness by antagonism or by a test. That's what holiness means, is tested innocence. Not tested and failed the test, but tested and passed the test. You understand? Can you grab that's what holiness means? It means, in our analogy of holy and saint and all those words, it's all of them come sanctified. All of those words come from the root word hagios in Greek. And all it means, and I've used the example 1,000 times, is that the salt shaker has salt in it. That's what holy means. It has nothing but salt in it. It doesn't have one grain of pepper or one grain of sand. The salt shaker has salt in it, and that's all. And that's what, if you can grab this, you'll begin to understand that holiness has nothing to do with what some outward appearance or something that we think it is. It simply means that you've been yielded to God in with 100%. There's none of you left in the mystery. So that's, but now here, he made God in our image, and when at the fall, the wrong God took control. That's what the fall means. That's why it means, when Jesus calls the Jews that believed on him children of Satan. Because because at the fall, Satan became essentially our father. Not because he had, there's all kinds of legends. There's some funny legends in Hebrew. That when God created a woman, there was and out of the dust of the earth, there was a little bit of feces, some kind of animal feces in it. And the woman that, the first woman that he created wasn't Eve, but Lilith. Everybody heard of Lilith?
Mm-hmm. Chief of demons, or I mean woman demon kind of thing.
And she's the succubus.
Yes.
I love that word. I used to want to always meet succubuses.
You would.
I used to try to conjure them up, even if they weren't, they didn't exist.
Can you spell that?
Huh?
Can you spell that, succubus?
No. S-U-C-C-U-B-U-S.
That's right. I just said no because I didn't want to spell it.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
The male is called a what?
Incubus.
Incubus. But what happened is, so God created Lilith instead of Eve, because it was a little bit of a feces. This is ancient Jewish thing. And that's why the women became the temptresses, and that because the Jewish men always blame everything on the woman. Well, so do Christian men, but that's another story. So, But man was okay, but it was Eve or Lilith's fault. Lilith is the one that caused him to eat the apple. And Lilith is this, go on and on and on. Back to creation. We were created to be vessels, but vessels for him. And instead, we became, because of the fall, we became vessels for the God of this world. Human race.
Rad.
You have never existed. You've always been a vessel for deity. Some of you still are. The wrong deity. Anybody understand me? You've always been this stellum, a glove. And you've always been a container for something. And what you're a container for, after the fall, is the God of this world instead of the God of eternity. The evidence of that is the basic program, the hardwire program that you have is fundamentally self for self. Now, there's all kinds of exceptions, but fundamentally the program in the human race is self for self. Except, of course, Sweet Pete. Can you believe that Can you believe that the people here used to call him Sweet Pete? And then Tom changed it from Sweet Pete to Sweet Pea?
That was a long time ago.
Until we got to know him.
Until
then he became the Dark Overlord.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah. That's his nickname around here, Dark Overlord.
He actually did used to be nice.
No, he didn't.
What do you think he likes to go get in dumpsters late at night?
That's the underlord.
Anyway.
I've been called a lot of things.
So God is continuing this, creating man in his image and likeness. Now, what has to happen is he had to cause the human race to die, so they had the potential for being the vehicle for the likeness, which was Jesus Christ. Image, likeness. Amen?
Yes.
Anybody have any questions or doubts about this? Image, likeness. Now we said that every station along God's mystery, God, in order to maintain his sense of, I guess, justice was the word, there always has to be the potential for what he has created to conform to what he wants in the future. And so, Adam and Eve had the capacity, they were innocent, but they had the capacity to transform that innocence that they were in, which they were created, to holiness by test, by not falling for the lies. We don't know how many tests they passed, but we do know the one they failed, the great transgression. Now I want you to go to Psalm 19 a minute. He didn't think I was going anywhere. I was just mouthing stuff off. Psalm 19 is the one that the first part of the psalm, verses 1 through 6, is about the stars. Verses 7 through 12 or 11 is about the Torah, the law. And then verses 12 through 14 are about the mystery of understanding, either or both of them. So it says, who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous. Notice sins isn't in the scripture, it's in italics. Keep back thy servant from presumptuousness. Let not them have dominion, or let that have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Now, the fundamental presumption that the human race makes is that it is an independent self and has to do something to gain something of value. This is where the evil one, and that the presumptuousness is that you have the capacity to judge for yourself good and evil, or right and wrong. Now, presumptuousness here is really talking about any time that you are using the I motive to justify something you think you need to do. You know what that means? I feel, therefore I must do. I need, therefore I have to take this action. Those are all presumptuous. Instead, what does faith say? Faith always says, stand still and see the salvation of God. Wait on him. That's the only way you'll know that he is in you. That's the only way you'll know that you know that you know that Jesus Christ is in you, that he is your life. Because otherwise, you will drop just like every other Gentile. You have a thought, and that thought then controls your actions. And so your thought, your mind leads you. Your mind leads what you're going to do next, instead of your works following you. Well, that whole arena of everything we just discussed is called presumptuousness. And they are presumptuous. It's redundant to say presumptuous sin, because sin is presumptuous. You understand? It says presumptuous, and then sin's in italics.
What about secret faults? Is that commission and omission? Is anything to do with that?
No.
It seems to me that most presumptuous sin is sin of commission, and secret faults would be sins of omission.
No.
Okay. I'm so glad I asked.
No, you got to hear. Sin isn't something you do. Trespass is what you do. Sin is who you are. Well, this is why it's so sad that the Christian church has cut itself off from the Jewish roots, because it's obvious when you understand and study the offerings of Christ, the offerings in the Leviticus, that trespass is what you do. You do trespass, you are sin. If you are sin, the only thing you can do is trespass. Even things you think are good are trespasses, because they're for the wrong motive. Now, man cannot be saved. The human race can't be saved. That's why his own seed, his own Zeruah, has gotten him the victory. Now he then becomes the thing that you as the glove, he becomes what you as the glove contain. He alone. But then it has to become it's not holy just because you contain them, because you mix it with you. That makes it unholy. That's why 100% abandonment of self is necessary. That's why not paying the slightest bit of attention to what your mind, your emotions tell you is necessary. The moment you pay attention to your mind and your emotions, the holiness has become unholy because it's been mixed with you.
Yes.
Okay? Yes. Now, well, it says, let's keep that. Keep me, thy servant, also from presumptuous sin. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. The great transgression was the fall. The fruit of the great transgression was, is, and will be sin. And then trespass is the fruit of the sin nature, the sin being, the sin called you. Okay? But now this is the test. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.
Well, he's reading 14 right now.
I just read verse 14 of Psalm 19. Let the words of my heart, of my mouth, and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my only strength and my only redeemer. Now, every time you do something that isn't from abandonment of self, you do something where your mind is leading you, at the core, it's always that you're trying to be your own redeemer. You have a need, no matter what it is, and you believe you know how to correct that need. Now, for most of your life, there was no problem with that because you were all screwed up anyway. But once you've heard the mystery, if you continue to do that, then you at that instant make God, in the form of the Holy Spirit, your mortal enemy. You have all kinds of good intentions. But because you return to presumptuousness, then the Holy Spirit has become your enemy because you're not believing on Him. You say you can still believe in Him. That's not what it says. You are not believing on Him. You're trying to have a predetermined course of action. Now you're trying to put God's name on it. And that's blasphemy. Everybody understand that perfectly? A little bit? What? Were you asleep?
Just thinking.
What are you thinking? Well, you left a hole in the donut here a minute ago.
Well,
that's just.
I was thinking about him, but I was trying to get back on track. Yeah, he distracted me. I can't remember what I was thinking about.
All right.
He distracted me when I went by.
Okay. Now, what that means is in these self-redemptive acts that you're totally convinced with everything you know the right thing to do, these self-redemptive acts cause you to not be in the position where the words of your mouth and the meditations of your heart are acceptable in His sight. They've caused you to return to presumptuousness, and they've caused you to resurrect the evil one. Now, if you can see how often one does this, you can see why the exhortation of the scriptures are abandon yourself, deny yourself, take no thought for yourself. Yeah. Take no thought for you or yours. All right. Mm. What? You believe that? All right, back to Genesis.
Yes.
Now, what's Lucifer's role in all this? God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. Now, we don't know what He said when He made Lucifer, we know from what we studied the week before last, at least, that, that Lucifer wasn't created by God at the time that man was. He was already there, right? Mm-hmm. Well, what was going on with that? It had to be that it was something for which God, that Lucifer and his kingdom had a potential to be of useful to God, otherwise God wouldn't have created it. Now, it ended up being necessary for God because Lucifer became the antagonist, or Satan, but that wouldn't have been enough for God's justice. There had to be a way that Lucifer could have been of value to God without him falling.
So the angels didn't exist before time was created. I mean, God created time before he created them.
Yeah, he had to, because angels exist in time. Okay. And, well, no, there's angels in eternity too.
Yes, yeah, so that's what confused me.
No, there's angels in eternity, so they were created before time.
Were so not the ones that followed Lucifer, weren't they angels?
They fell. But how did they fall? Well, let's go to Luke 17.
I think. All angels were cast.
What?
A third of all angels were cast out.
Where are we going?
I'm not sure. I'm trying to find where it's where he. It's Luke somewhere. I have it written down here somewhere. Well, I guess I don't have it written down somewhere.
Are you distinguishing between Lucifer and Satan?
Well, Lucifer preceded Satan.
All right.
There's two people?
No. It's Lucifer became Satan. Lucifer, the word Lucifer in its original means light bearer. He was the bearer of the perfect light. But he fell and became Satan.
What does Satan mean?
The opposer.
I've never heard that before.
What?
What you just said, that Lucifer predated Satan and became Satan.
Well, I thought everybody thought that.
Yes.
They probably do. I just never picked up on
that. All right. I'm looking where Jesus said he saw Satan fall from heaven. Why can't I find it? I swear I wrote that down somewhere. Ha! Luke 10, not Luke 17. No, I couldn't find it. Well, off the bat, it doesn't make any sense. He just sent forth the 70, and the 70, where he gave them instructions on what to do. And then in verse 17, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. You can just imagine them. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. That's chapter Luke 10:18. Now, that's kind of
interesting.
I beheld Satan. As lightning fall from heaven. What But I'm trying to, I'm having trouble getting to it. But what I'm trying to get to is when God created Lucifer, what value did God have in creating Lucifer? In other words, was it possible for Lucifer to have had some value to God before he fell? And what was it possible for all of the third of heaven, or all of the angels that fell with him, to have a value to God? And I don't want some religious answer. I want to see if we can come up with...
I've never thought about
it. Well, if he was light, was he not...
He was a light?
Light? Like stars?
Well, he was... Lucifer means the light bearer.
Well, without him falling, we
wouldn't have fallen. There would have been no temptation.
He facilitated that.
Right, but the value before, I want to see if we can figure out, and I'm not saying I know the answer, but I want us to think in that realm, if there's any realm or any possibility, because it would seem to me there has to be in order to continue God's potential for justice in everything he created.
I'm struck by the similarity between Lucifer's name and the story of Prometheus. Maybe there's something up that tunnel.
I don't know. Possibly.
What about music as far as praise, worship, Satan?
Lucifer. What about what?
Music. Wasn't he the angel of music?
Lucifer?
Yeah.
No.
No?
Where'd you get that?
A movie.
That was actually funny.
What did he say?
He said a movie.
Well, I mean, like I said, if Lucifer was light, was he not with the light along with the angels and with that, whatever was here with the dinosaurs?
Well, Lucifer,
there were light?
There was life here, yeah. Lucifer, it was Lucifer's kingdom.
They were the light for those creatures.
Well, it was the sun. On the moon and all the stars.
Wait a minute, you lost me.
Well, that was the light that was in Lucifer's kingdom. God didn't create new lights. Mm-hmm. Excuse me a second, I'll be right back.
So it was only saying that the moon and the stars and the sun existed before
the dinosaur reign. The reign of the sun is dinosaurs. The sun's already existed. The moon already existed for millions of years.
And so that's why, like he said, that he had that one astronaut had that rock that was older than 6,000 or 6 million years that they're claiming or whatever.
600 million years.
600 million years.
A long time. Billions.
Which shows that there has been a universe here longer.
Yeah, pre-endemic man.
Like the pre-endemic man we talked about.
Right, right.
Time before Genesis.
Oh, he's all right. He's just laying in my bed.
I don't want him getting
in. Excuse me.
If you got medication, it's okay.
What?
Is there any test based on having all the knowledge of God, being able to not use it stupidly?
Yeah, but there's no question, obviously. But my question is, maybe it's beyond our capacity to know. But it just struck me.
Well, that's what made me think about Prometheus, because he brought. He brought knowledge and light.
But I was wondering
if that's corrupted from the Lucifer story.
It could have been. Anyway, let's forget about it. We're going to spend all time speculating. I don't want to do that. But I just was interested in it. See if anybody had an answer.
All the time.
Huh?
So we used to do that all the time. spend 2 hours going, oh. We're going to put that in the centrifuge and sort it out. Ha!
Now, we read in Ezekiel 28 about why that originally Satan wasn't evil, didn't we? Did we read that?
In Ezekiel where?
28.
Yeah. The part about you were perfect until evil was found in you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, not tonight.
All right. Did we talk about that he was destroyed by the fire in the midst of him?
Mm-hmm.
that's a two-mind thing.
Yeah, because everybody then starts doing their own thing instead of being in unity.
I know where we...
I have a question. Did he become evil of his own free will? Does he have the ability to become evil?
Good question.
I don't think he had free will like we think of it. Because in my humble opinion, there never has been free will.
So in other words,
it's always been the will of God.
So it was the will of God that he became.
But just like when he created Adam, it was his will that the incense be transformed into holiness by antagonism. So there had to be something. In order for God to maintain his identity, there had to be something that could have happened that would have benefited God by the creation of Lucifer and his angels. In the same way that in the same way that Adam could have transformed the innocence into holiness by not falling for it. I don't know.
Well, isn't that value that he accuses us and tests us?
Oh, I know, no, but I mean a value independent of that. Oh. Independent of the negative. Just a value
regarding
his creation itself at that time. I just wanted to talk about it, see if anybody had ever heard anything about it. I haven't. All right. Let's go to Matthew 12.
What's another name for Lucifer? Daystar?
Well, that's
No.
The day star, the morning star. No, some commentators say that, but I don't know that that's true.
Where are we going?
Where are we going?
Matthew 12.
Channel 23.
But Daystar Television Network was definitely Satan's name.
It was definitely, I didn't mean it that way, but it worked out nice.
It was definitely spawned from that. Yeah.
Matthew what?
12.
Thank you.
Matt what?
Matthew 12.
Verse 22. Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and the dumb, blind and dumb, both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed, and said, Is not this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, This fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of darkness, or the prince of devils. They didn't say that out loud. That's what they were thinking. And Jesus knew their thoughts, and said unto them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. If Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Now, what does that have to do with Lucifer? We studied the stars over and over and over again, how often it says that Satan is defeated, was defeated at the cross, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now the point is, you could have not defeated the evil one in you, your mind, unless he had already defeated Satan. That's the whole point. That's why, huh?
Like God has to will it and do it in you.
Right, but he had to. Yeah, but you have to come to the understanding that in order for you to repent, you have to know who you are.
Chief of sinners.
Hmm? You're not talking about self-realization.
He is so funny.
It's sometimes a distraction.
You have to know who you are. And you have to know that your number is 666, that you are the temple of the living God, who has set himself up in the temple, showing himself that he is God. Not Satan, you. And so the point of this, and the reason this was so important, is, and it's important to understand, and this is really freeing if you can hear it, because all over the world, people are battling Satan. And it's a battle that's already been won. It's like the Japanese soldier that was 43 years after the Second World War, he was still in an high, he was still fighting the war. Your warfare is over. Your battle is done. As long as you have seen that Satan has been defeated, therefore it's easy for you to defeat this evil one. You just ignore it. There's no power. You ignore but this thing is not just your thoughts in your mind, it's also your emotions. And they have to be seen as lies. What was that movement?
Got in my pen.
Oh. But do you understand the relationship of this? That if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Excuse me. Or how else can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods? Except he first bind the strong man, and then he shall spoil his house. So you're the house of God, but you have been the house of the evil one. Now, the evil one is destroyed as long as you see he's destroyed. If you don't see he's destroyed, then Satan, by Jesus defeating Satan, did you no good. If you don't even know he exists, then you're a fool anyway. And I say that with love. If you don't know that you are the Antichrist, then you're not too bright. You haven't had an aha moment.
Epiphany.
Well, that's enough for tonight. I'm not doing too good. But I want you to consider these things. The reason is you have to see that the evil one has been defeated in you. And all you have to do is stop raising him from the dead. Now, if you believe Revelation, there's nothing worse than the evil one that becomes religious. Right. If you don't believe that, read the second half of Revelation 13. All right? This was a little disjointed because I kind of disjointed tonight. This morning I got up and I felt great. And then about 10:30, it just felt like every bit of strength left me, and I was just exhausted. I couldn't even move.
Tulsa lag.
Yeah.
Maybe.
So the second half of 13.
Yep.
Second half, that's where the second beast arises, but he has two little horns like a lamb, but he's still speaking with the voice of the dragon. Mm-hmm. All right. Anybody else?
I get
take a big guy.